right, so in case you are new with us, or if you've even been following along, we have been going through the Ten Commandments for the past few weeks in this summer, and we are on our last one, and it is last but certainly not least of them. And actually, as I found going through this, it was a coincidence that it was the last one, but it kind of ended up being fitting that it was the final one. Now, in Exodus, in the commandments, it's listed as the third one, and it's one of those that is related to our the people's relationship to God. So I'm going to throw up Exodus 27 so we can take a look at this verse. I'll start with the NRSV, and I have the King James Version as well, because it actually is, people are more familiar with the King James Version, I think. And it's also led to some interesting ways that people have viewed this particular commandment. Exodus 27, "You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name." And the interesting thing is this is an important one, and you know it's an important one, because when you have the list of commandments in another part of the Bible, in Deuteronomy, it is listed exactly word for word the same. I know in some of the other commandments we've looked at, there have been kind of various versions of them, but this one, they wanted to make sure you knew what it said. Now, the reason I put the King James up here, as I mentioned, is some of you are probably more familiar with, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." And that's often what this one is known as, "Don't take the Lord's name in vain." And what this version is, we often take it as not using God's name flippantly, not using it for swears, you know, being careful about how you use it. Oftentimes, it's the to avoid in text speak your GDs and your OMGs. In case you're not familiar, you can ask some of our teenagers what that is. But also, what I found really interesting about this particular commandment is when I told people I was preaching on this, I got these two reactions. The first one was, "Oh, that is one I definitely struggle with." Or the other one is, "I know somebody who could really use that word," a word on that one. So I'm going to ask for a little bravery and confession time, and you will note my hand will go up as well. Who feels that this is one that they have struggled with, or they know someone who struggles with this one? All right. Okay, good. I'm so happy. Thank you all for that moment. I appreciate that. It is one that we struggle with, and it's so interesting that, It is one we struggle with, and I'm not sure, it's hard to figure out exactly why it's so difficult for us, but it is, and that's what we're going to kind of talk about this morning. And the thing is it actually is more than just watching your swears and watching how you use God's name in your language. That's the good news. The bad news is it's actually a lot more complicated than that, so bear with me. And one of the reasons that this is kind of complicated is, we'll start with, what is God's name? What is God's name? We know names of other gods, right? Of other gods, Greek gods, Roman gods, Egyptian gods, Norse maybe. Can somebody, actually, can we just yell out some names? Some names of gods that you know. Yahweh. Thor. What was Athena. Zeus. Okay, so we've got these names, and we did get the Yahweh, I heard that one, and I'm going to go into that in just a minute. But we have these names of these gods and these pantheons, and we know what they are. You have the gods of war, you have gods of the sun, we have gods of the underworld, we have, you know, gods of love and gods of the sea. And so we kind of, we have these names associated with what they do. Now we have this god, the God that we all serve and know. And we do have some titles that we get for God, but there's an interesting thing with God's name. backtrack a little bit. One of the things with God's names, when people were evoking gods, it's to get them to do something. It's to, you know, it was blessing, curses. You're asking something of this God and asking this God to be present and to do something. And so what it means to use a God's name for ill or for good is about representing the character of this God. When talking about this particular verse, the wrongful use of God's name, it's about misrepresenting the character of God. It's to use God's name in such a way that is contrary to who God is. To look at the name of God, we're going to go back a little bit in Exodus to chapter 3, where we have the story of Moses first encountering God and being called by God to set the people free from Egypt. And God says, says to Moses, it's like, all right, I've heard the cries of my people, I have remembered them, and I'm gonna rescue them from this slavery in Egypt that they have been in for a long time. And Moses kind of hems and haws a little bit, and it's like, okay, that's great. How am I going to do that? And I'm not a special speaker, and God, you know, is, I'm going to be with you. And then Moses asks this question. It says, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is the name? Who shall I say to them? Who shall I say to them that? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is my title for all generations. Go and assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have given heed to you and to what has been done to you in Egypt. So the name of God, I am who I am. It's often we say it as Yahweh, as it was heard. And what this says is, this is the God who is and does. This is a God who is. This is a God who does. That's the answer, is God answers with, this is what I have done. This is who I have been. This is who I am. And this is what I do. And I'll go more into that here. God is known by how God acts. God is known through the connection God has to God's people. This is where the Ten Commandments comes in. These are markers for what makes God's people God's people. The relationship that God's people have to God and the relationship God's people have to one another. So that brings me to our scripture reading for today. This has some of the similar things that were said in Exodus, but it goes on further to show the rescue of God's people from Egypt. And I'll skip around to, sorry. So now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances. So these are the commandments that are given again. And then talking about serving them. and we take, one of the things that I was reading in these commentaries was the danger of separating all of these commandments. Even though we have looked at them one at a time, they all do work together, and all of it is in this sort of remembrance of who God is and how you represent God. I'm going to go to verse 4 in Deuteronomy 6. So when we're talking about how we use the name of God, we rightfully use the name of God. I went to the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And talking about reciting it to your children and talking about it and remembering and binding it on your hand and the emblems on the doors. And as Carrie had mentioned, that this was very important. This has been very important in Judaism, and that it is fixed on doorways and things like that. And this is actually recited at Passover. It's recited often because it's about remembering who God is and what God has done. In my theology of salvation class last semester, I read this book. It's called Jesus and Salvation by a writer called Robin Ryan. And I found this really interesting. And even though this is called Jesus and Salvation, the first chapter was about Israel, was the Old Testament, and kind of Israel's relationship to knowing who God is as Savior, and the salvific acts of God. And one of the things that, a few things that were really, that really stuck out to me was the Exodus tradition profoundly shaped Israel's perception of the character of God as a liberator and Savior. And that the memory of Exodus, which we have recited throughout this Deuteronomy verse, the rescue from slavery out of Egypt, God remembering, God listening, God coming through for the people of Israel, is that that shaped Israel's, the basis for their ethical life. And that experience of salvation was not something merely to be received, but had to be actualized in human conduct in order to be effective. So it wasn't just talking about God. It's not just something that was happened, but it also, you put that out. And so when you're representing God, you are putting, you are saying who God is when you are evoking that name, and in the actions that you do in following these commandments, you are saying this is the God, this is who God is. Now, going forward to Jesus, it was funny when I was thinking about this name of God and how we represent the name of God, or how we might misrepresent the name of God. I thought about this time when Jesus asked this question, "Who do you say that I am?" This is a scene in three of the Gospels. It's in Matthew 16:15. In Matthew 16, Mark 8, and Luke 9. And there's slight variations on this story, but there are some consistencies that do happen. First is that Jesus asks the people, or asks the disciples, who are people saying that I am? Or who are the crowd saying that I am? Or it's who am I? Who are they saying I am? The next thing that's consistent is that then he asks the disciples, who do you say that I am? And then Peter answers in some form or another, you are the Messiah. And then, this is the odd one, this is the odd part, Jesus sternly orders them, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. And there are a lot of debates about why this is, why Jesus does this. And it's even got this phrase, you hear the messianic secret sometimes. So it is something that's been debated a lot. But here's something that I've come to, this is what I've come to feel about it, or maybe this is through the readings that I've done and through some of the ways that I've seen this interpreted. I think that Jesus knows that he's more than just a title, and that he knows he's representing God. And it's about more than just what he says, but it's about Jesus knows he has to prove who he is by what he does. And it's not just announcing, and it's not just about being a name, but it's about showing who he is. It's about taking the, I am representing God, and this is what I am doing to show that that's what I'm doing. So Jesus does this through ministry, reminding people who God is through what he does, how he is present with people, and proving God's love. And reminding people of God's love. So, What does it mean to misuse the name of God? I think to misuse the name of God is to forget. It's to forget who God is and what God has done. It's to act and speak in such a way that does not represent who God is or how God acts. A God who saves, liberates, is perfect love. We are called to love the Lord your God and love your neighbors as yourself. And these are ways we remember who God is. And we rightfully use God's name. All these commandments are about what it looks like and what it means to be God's people. To follow these commandments is to show love like God. John's sermon last week, when he was talking about bearing false witness and about lying, asked the question, is this the most loving response I can have? And I'll take that a step further and ask, is this the most loving way I can be? It is easy to forget sometimes who God is and how God is. I know it can be hard to love a God in whose name you have experienced harm. It is hard to remember a God who is supposed to represent perfect love when you have experienced hate or rejection in the name of this God. I know for me, I have sometimes forgotten who God is because God was modeled as a source of anxiety and fear that drove me to unhealthy perfectionism. And when I did not get the results I expected, I blamed God for that. And so then I forget. And I might get flippant with the name of God. I might misrepresent God. And there's some disturbing stories in the Bible, too. I'm not going to lie about that, that make it kind of hard to reconcile the image of the saving, liberating God we have come to know. And while I'm not going to go and explore that this morning, we are going to explore this through the next year, since we are going to go through the whole Bible. And we will ask these questions, and we will look at these difficult things that are sometimes hard to reconcile. But we should be constantly asking ourselves who God is and how we are presenting our God to the world around us, because it is easy to forget when God's followers are not representing God, the God we're supposed to know. To show good use of the name of God is to act and be in remembrance of God who loves, saves, liberates, is powerful and present, who remembers and forgives. Remember God. It is to remember a God who took on human existence to truly know us and offer her whole self to us. Again, this is not easy. Many of these commandments are not easy. And we don't always get it right. But again, we believe in a God whose name is love, whose name is salvation, and forgiveness, and has the power to move and act beyond our limited abilities. Now, I wanted to end this time together during the musical reflection. I had some questions I wanted you to think about, and you can write them in your bulletin, or they're a little small. You can write them in your bulletin, or you can just think on them as the music is playing. But I wanted you to answer the question, if God were to ask you, who do you say that I am? How would you answer that? And with that name in mind, be honest with yourself and maybe reflect on how have I misused this name? And then ask for repentance. And then think about how you might better use this and represent this name. What does it look like to show reverence and love to this name?